Well, our prayer for the children is a prayer really for all of us, that we continue to grow in our love and faithfulness to the one who loves and is perfectly faithful to us, in part through his word. God speaks to us today through the story of that first Palm Sunday. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses, and spend some time thinking about that very first Palm Sunday and how it still impacts us today. Well, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was written through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Fellow followers of Jesus, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are reaching the end of Lent, as we've already mentioned at the beginning of the service. This is our last worship service before we gather again for Maundy Thursday, and I don't know if you do anything for Good Friday or not, but then Easter Sunday next week. And I just want to clarify a little misconception that we might have about Palm Sunday. We might be tempted to think that Palm Sunday is this nice little break before the intense commemoration of Jesus' death. This nice little happy, cheery little break. This Palm Sunday, just a little breather, you know, before things really get serious. I would submit to you this morning that Palm Sunday is a day where actually the Lenten themes intensify and continue to get stronger. This isn't a break from Lent. This intensifies our journey through Lent. We follow the one, after all, who entered Jerusalem on a donkey and exited the city a week later, dragging a cross on his back. And so Passion Week begins with a stark choice. To whom will you belong? Which king will you follow? Because it's easy to forget that in the days leading up to the Jewish Passover, there was not just one procession entering Jerusalem. No, there were two processions entering Jerusalem. And they were on a collision course. From the east, amid whispers of revolt, Jesus rides in on a donkey, proclaiming the empire of God. Now, we're used to the expression kingdom of God, but do not fool yourselves. Jesus' royal entrance is a challenge to the dominant Roman empire of his day. Hearts pounding with fear, Jesus' companions follow in disorderly fashion. Hopeful peasants spoiling with a fight with the man, the tyrannical Roman emperor. Together, those peasants, those crowds, those disciples, they cheer him on. Oh, Jesus is our hope against Rome, they figure. And so Jesus' Palm Sunday procession, as described by Matthew, enters Jerusalem from the east. But around the same time, from the west, amid rising dust and the thunder of Calvary hooves, soldiers march in, visible and audible even from a distance. Using contemporary military language, we maybe would refer to this as a shock and awe battalion led by Pontius Pilate, who is also arriving in Jerusalem this week. He is rolling into town to assert the authority of the Roman Caesar, the Roman Emperor. One poet describes Pontius Pilate like this: on that horse of his, big as a house, and the armor shining, and half of Rome trotting behind him, tight-mouthed he was, looking as if he owned the world. He will answer any insurrection, or attempt at insurrection, or hint at insurrection, with an iron fist. Pilate, and by extension Caesar, whom he represented, is greeted by the upper crust of Jerusalem in a very noisy yet orderly and sophisticated procession as this crowd enters into Jerusalem. If this were a Hollywood movie, ominous music would be swelling and dark clouds rumbling on the horizon. I don't know how much we appreciate this, but Jesus' triumphal entry into the city is a dangerous political statement. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, come on, riding on a donkey, triumphant, majestic, dangerous? Maybe not by 21st century North American standards. But as the gospel writer points out to us, this is a brazen nod to Zechariah's prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's easy to think, tempting to think, that Jesus' Palm Sunday procession is this nice little gentle parade for children. And we do believe children were there, but the Jewish crowd, do not kid yourself, the Jewish crowd, they know Zechariah's prophecy probably even better than we do. And they welcome Jesus into the city as their liberator. The crowd shouts, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. And you have to understand that the word Hosanna is not just some generic cheer like rah, rah. No, the word Hosanna is the Hebrew expression for, anyone know? Victory for, anyone else? Victory is part of it. It's like this active verb. Save us. Save us. What the people aren't getting under Roman rule, they are looking for in Jesus. And that spells trouble, friends, because there is already a governor named Pilate, and there is already a king of the Jews, a title given to Herod, and there is Caesar, known far and wide, as he liked to call himself, the Son of God. Today's Palm Parade is the counterpoint, a non-violent mockery, if you will, of the Roman military parade on the other side of the city. We fail to see the powder keg that is early first century Judea's hotbed for uprisings, regularly squashed by superior Roman force, granted. A viable interpretation of Jesus' Palm Sunday procession is a potential political uprising in a very politically explosive setting. Over the past 2,000 years, we've kind of domesticated this revolutionary gauntlet that was thrown down to the Roman Empire that first Palm Sunday. Who knew that Jesus' Palm Sunday parade was in fact a form of nonviolent civic disobedience? Jesus comes into Jerusalem with an alternative way to be king, an alternative picture of what majesty looks like, an alternative method to wielding great power, an alternative to what Rome and to what we're used to shows us. And although Palm Sunday happened nearly 2,000 years ago, really, we're used to a similar script, a world of business or sports or politics, take your pick, and the ways that they direct us to the top. In many corporations, community is sacrificed in people's efforts to get the raise, to get the promotion, to get the recognition. I'll step on whoever I have to get to the top. Very Roman way of acting. In some sports teams, camaraderie is sacrificed in athletes' efforts to steal the show. Very Roman way of acting. In our politics, consensus through listening hard to one another and actually trying to understand one another is sacrificed in my effort to push through my agenda and to get my way for my constituents, preferably by yelling louder than anyone else. Very Roman way of operating, a very tempting way to operate, ways in which I regularly succumb, and I suspect all of us do, otherwise we would not have these times of confession in our worship services for when we get things backwards according to the kingdom of God. Well, into this noise of distorted values, distorted pictures of what leadership and strength and power look like, into this noise of distorted values, Jesus, the truly powerful one, the true king, rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Not on a war horse, not on a stallion, but on a donkey, simultaneously fulfilling prophecy while remaining humble. And it's not even Jesus' own donkey, for crying out loud. It's one borrowed and promised to be returned. Now, plundering kings in ancient times, they would have taken the animal and kept it. You have a donkey, I need it, it's now mine. Go find yourself another one. King would have added that donkey to his own stable. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus only borrows the donkey. Jesus comes not to break in and steal, but to give and to bless. Jesus enters Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, not with guns blazing, but with tears in his eyes. Luke records that detail. There's at least a couple of reasons why Jesus weeps. People have been led astray by the hypocritical religious leaders of the day, and the people don't grasp how the Messiah is to be the suffering servant. And so some in the Palm Sunday crowd who are shouting, "Hosanna today," may very well be shouting, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. Jesus grieves over how misguided and lost people have become, influenced, coerced by the values of Rome and other cultural influences around them. Jesus grieves at what it'll cost to save them and bring them back to their loving Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus' purpose is not to get something out of the people. That's Pilate's intention in his procession from the other side of town. I am here to get respect, to get prominence, to get obedience. Jesus comes not so much to get something out of the people, but to give something to the people, done in love. Done in love. Love for the people. I saw somebody put this on Twitter, and I retweeted it. People were created to be loved. Things were created to be used. The reason why the world is in chaos is because things are being loved and people are being used. You get that, how that's reversed? People are meant to be loved. Things are meant to be used. The world is in chaos because we tend to love things and use people. We get it backwards. Pilate enters Jerusalem to tighten his grip on power there, and he will use whatever means and people necessary to achieve that goal. Jesus enters with a sacrificial spirit to love, and to love to the end. And so the people ask, who is this? And the answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so Hosanna is a very appropriate word. For he comes to save in the truest, in the most complete sense of the word, body and soul, life and in death, as he makes his way to the cross. So friends, we have one Palm Sunday, but two processions. Jesus entering from the east, Pilate entering from the west. I don't know, maybe it was on the same day. Scripture doesn't say. But likely within a day or two, because Pilate's on scene for Holy Week. He doesn't live there, but he comes there. He's there for Holy Week. And he entered into Jerusalem, I'm sure, with great pomp and circumstance. One Palm Sunday, two processions, two figures entering Jerusalem. And I said at the beginning, they present us with a stark choice. And we need to make a choice. Choices. In which parade are we marching? In which parade are we marching? One where sharp swords glint in the sunlight, or one with wispy palm branches swaying back and forth? One obsessed with power and prestige and position, or one characterized by servant hearts? One where we see what we can get, or one where we see what we can sacrificially give. One where we see how we can use people and love things, or one where we can use things and love people. Often, we, and by we, I mean myself, and I suspect a lot of you as well, if not all of us. Often, we think that we can get the best of both worlds. We think we can have it both ways. We've tried cutting a lot of deals with Rome since that first Palm Sunday. We've accommodated the Caesars and compromised with the Herods of the world. Oh, we can recite the Ten Commandments forwards, maybe even backwards. But that doesn't stop us from making a shady business deal that puts a few extra bucks in our pocket. That doesn't stop us from surfing to pornographic websites. That doesn't stop us from gossiping about other people behind their backs. We say we follow Jesus. but we have more faith in our investment portfolio than we do in God's word. We exclude kids from our group who are crying out for a friend. We're more enamored with chasing worldly power than identifying with the least, the last, and the lost, like Jesus did. You see, friends, Jesus is not just interested in one piece of our lives, the spiritual piece, the spiritual part, the part that goes to church for an hour or two on Sunday and puts a couple of dollars in the offering and maybe volunteers in a ministry or something. No, Jesus calls us to follow him and obey him in all aspects of life, in all our relationships and all our pursuits. And this is not just something for adults, but something that we desire to instill in our children, even from the youngest age, as we watch them waving palm branches. And what we pray will be an ongoing, lifelong act of shouting Hosanna to Jesus, and not to other influences or voices in our world. We need to emphasize this. We need to talk about this because, frankly, there are two kings vying for our allegiance. As I said, one king enters from the east, the other enters from the west. And we regularly try pledging our loyalty to both, giving each a piece of our lives here and there, avoiding total commitment to either. But Palm Sunday awakens us to the great chasm between the empires of God and of Caesar. And that's where we live our lives. Palm Sunday calls us to choose in which parade we will march. To which ruler, which empire will we bow down and give our hearts and give our lives? We know full well that to choose to walk down into Jerusalem with Jesus is by far the more dangerous choice after all. But we have Jesus' promise and the witness of his life and death and resurrection that he is the path to the fullness of life, the fullest and best life imaginable. Yes, it is a path filled with mystery and paradox that a suffering servant can somehow be the Messiah and King of Kings. How does that work? But the love of Jesus, together with the Spirit-given knowledge that the kingdom of God will be the last one standing, gives us the strength to go forward. So friends, wave a palm. Clear your throats and shout with joy and loyalty and conviction. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, this Jesus of Nazareth, the one you commit to wholeheartedly following, your Messiah and true King, this Palm Sunday and every Palm Sunday and every day for eternity. Amen. Asked if we could sing together after the message a song about that paradox of